Imagine for just a moment how God sees you. God, who knows all things, sees all things, God, who we can keep no secrets from, how does he see you? And if God were to use three words or short phrases to describe his view of you, what words do you think he would use? How would God describe what he sees? Now, for most of my life, if you were to ask me to try and think of how God would describe me, I think I would have used words like dirty, rotten, failure. I may have even used the word worthless. Why? Because that's how I saw myself, and even now, sometimes that's how I see myself. And like so many, I've tried to take my personal views and impose them upon God. If this is how I see things, then that's got to be how God sees things, right? Well, the answer is wrong. According to Paul, the apostle that Jesus Christ sent to the Gentiles to reveal the mystery hidden from the ages, a mystery not revealed until after the death and resurrection of Christ, a mystery given by divine revelation by Christ to Paul and to no one else. When God looks at me amazingly, he doesn't see my weaknesses, my failures, and my sin. Instead, he sees me in his Son, clothed in his very righteousness, which has been imputed to my account. It's been placed on my account. Now, if God were to use three words or short phrases to describe how he sees me in you, the Apostle Paul tells us these are the words that God would use: holy, blameless, and above reproach. Now, if you've known me for a while, you've probably heard me quote that more than one time, probably a dozen times, because this truth found in Paul's letter to the Colossians changed my life, and I realize that it's something that many people have never heard, or they find it very hard to believe. They say, well, that sounds too good to be true. It can't possibly be true. But what if the word gospel, which means good news, really is good news? So good that it sounds too good to be true. Wouldn't that make it great news? Listen, if you have a Bible handy, pause this recording and open it up to the book of Colossians, and then press play again. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 13 just to get the flow of things. It says this. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, in other words, it's already ours, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now pause right there for just a second. Peace with God does not come as a result of any work that you might attempt to do in an effort to win God's favor. Peace with God doesn't come through any offering that you might give. Peace with God is not something that you could ever earn through your own merit. Peace with God has come through the blood of his cross. Your reconciliation with God, my reconciliation with God, it's come through the blood of his cross, not through anything we could do, not through any promises we make or anything we could offer. It's through the blood of his cross. It's through a work that was finished on a blood-covered piece of lumber 1,000 years ago. Look at verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Think about that. The work of reconciliation, the peace-bringing sacrifice, took place long before you and I were ever born. But yet, being born as fallen creatures, we've lived like Adam and Eve immediately after the fall, running from God, alienating ourselves from God, thinking God wants nothing to do with us. But listen to those words again. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. Where were we alienated? In our minds, because of our wicked works, because of our fallen sinful state. We'd look at ourselves, and then in our minds, we couldn't imagine that God really wanted anything to do with us. But he did, and he does, and he proved it on the cross. And through that bloody cross came peace and reconciliation for you and me. That's good news. It's good news the world needs to hear so that others just like you and me will stop living in that alienation. Paul goes on. He says this, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Did you hear that? How has Christ presented you in the sight of the Father? Holy, blameless, and above reproach. Man, I bet you those are words most of us would never use to describe how we think God sees us. That's because we underestimate or simply haven't been taught what was accomplished on the cross. Now, if it's God's will, next time we'll talk more about these words, holy, blameless, and above reproach, and we'll go further into Paul's letter to the Colossians as we look at one single short little word that has been very poorly translated in most of our English translations, which as a result has really watered down what Paul is saying in the original language. My name is James Flanders, and like most people, I sometimes struggle to believe that God really does see me as holy, blameless, and above reproach, because I see myself. I know my own struggles. I know my own weakness. I know my own sin. I know those things I hate about me. But day by day, more and more, my eyes are being opened to the wondrous work of Jesus Christ as my Heavenly Father helps me to learn to walk the path of grace.